Hey, I wanted to brag on y'all and what's going on. This last Wednesday night, we had 95 children and leaders in Power Kids. That's basically pre-K through fifth grade. And then we had that many down here in Ground Zero. And so this last Wednesday night, this room was filled with teenagers. Power Kids was filled with children. And so we ministered to almost 200 kindergarten through 12th graders and our leaders involved in that number. And why am I telling you that? Well, because numbers matter, because numbers are people. And so we're reaching children, we're reaching teenagers. And when I say we, I mean all of us. And I'm thankful for your prayers, for your serving, for your giving. You know, on Sunday, this is our last service of the week. Okay, we have a service on Thursday night. We have a service at, is it 9:30? Yeah, I think it's 9:30, right? And I was there, all right? And then we have this service. And so during those three services, our average, we average anywhere from 225 to 275. Sometimes we can bump almost to 300. And so we minister. Now, you ready for this? We minister to between 450 and 500 people a week right here in Tulsa, Texas. Amen. Come on, amen, amen. Amen. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your prayers. And God is doing amazing things. On Wednesday night, Kurt will have the kids. I sat right back there where Teddy is Wednesday night. And there was a girl sitting right there where his son Creed is. And she was on her phone. She's a teenager. And Kurt said to bow your head. And he invited them to invite Christ into their life. And so this little girl was sitting right there, and she's on her, like I said, she's a teenager, and she's on her phone. I know none of y'all get on your phones in church. It's only teenagers, amen? And so she's on her phone, and so I'm kind of watching her out of the corner of my eye, and she's got her phone out, and Kurt begins to lead in what we call the sinner's prayer, the believer's prayer, where you invite Christ into your life. And as she's got her phone open, she prays that prayer. I can see her praying, and she prays that prayer while she's looking at her phone. You know, women can multitask. Men can't. Okay. If a guy has to look at his phone and pray the sinner's prayer, he's going to hell. Okay. I mean, right? Because when he gets to heaven and tries to get in, the Lord's going to say, you weren't even paying attention. But it blessed me. That little girl sitting right there, she's a teenager, and she prayed that prayer, and it blessed me. And so I just wanted to encourage you the amazing things that God is doing here. Now, let's talk about family. I grew up back in the day, okay? My brother and I belong to my mom and dad biologically. That's called a blended family. Not a blended family, I'm sorry. That's called a nuclear family. And only 25% of our families in America today are still that way. My dad would go to work, and my mom would stay home, and she would iron the sheets and the pillowcases, literally. And when my brother and I would get home from school, you know, we'd have cold milk and warm oatmeal cookies. And I went to school basically with the same group of kids from kindergarten through seniors. I went to school basically, a few kids moved, but as a whole, it was basically the same group. And I was trying to think if I knew of anybody that I went to school with whose parents were divorced. And I honestly cannot remember. I'm sure there was probably a few, but I cannot remember them. Majority of the kids I went to school with, their parents didn't divorce back then. I graduated in 1973, and divorce was almost unheard of. Well, let's fast forward. Vicki and I live in Plainview, and Ashley and almost said Ashley and Arthur, but Ashley and Arthur didn't come till later. Ashley and Kurt are small kids, and Kurt's playing with the neighbor boy. And one day the neighbor boy told him, he said, hey, man, my mom and dad are getting a divorce, and I don't know where I'm going to go. And so he was telling him about it. And Kurt said, oh, man, my parents would never do that. And he said to him, that's what my parents said. And Kurt, I'll never forget it. He came running home, and when he came running in the door, he said, Dad, are you and Mom going to get divorced? And I'm thinking, well, I'm not mad at her today, so probably not, right? So I said, no. I reassured him, no, we're not going to get divorced. The thing I want you to see is the family in America has changed. Okay, it has changed. Now, I want to say something that's very powerful. There's not one perfect way to have family. Okay, you may be a blended family. And what's that mean? That means you've been married before, you divorced, you have children. And if you're young enough, you can have your children, she can have her children, and you can have children together. I know there's many families here this morning that are just exactly like that. Here's the thing. We're not looking to be a perfect family. We're looking to be a healthy family. Maybe you're a single dad and you see your kids every other weekend. You can be a healthy family. Maybe you're a mom and you have your children and then you split custody with dad. The thing I want to show you this morning is I want to show you the traits of a healthy family. Listen, there's no perfect family. They don't exist. Okay, I do not have a perfect family. I did not grow up in a perfect family, and there's not perfect families. Our goal is to have a healthy family. Now, why does that matter? Well, it matters for the people within that family unit. It matters to our children, and it matters to our grandchildren. Now, I don't have to tell you this. I know you know it, but the family is under attack. Okay, it's under attack demonically. It's under attack by the kingdom of darkness. It's under attack by the devil. Listen, the devil hates the family. If you're here this morning and you're married, can I tell you something? The devil wants to destroy your family. And you know what? You're doing something very powerful to keep that from happening by being in God's house and by being in church and by hearing the word of God. But the devil hates the family. And your family's under attack. Your children are under attack. If you have grandchildren, they're under attack. Well, I'm going to show you some things this morning to help you to strengthen and help you to encourage your family. And like I said, we're going to talk about having a healthy family, and I'm going to show you some simple traits that are going to make that happen. So let's jump in, and let me show you the first one. Imagine, if you will, that your family is a house. Okay, I lived in a two-bedroom, one-bath, one-car garage house, and my dad and my granddad and my uncle built it. And it was a little white brick home that my parents lived in that I grew up in my whole life. Imagine your family as a house. Well, the foundation of your family, the first thing is communication. Listen, healthy families communicate. They communicate often. They communicate about things that matter. Let me see what I have down here. That when you communicate, you do it open and you do it often. Let me read to you out of Ephesians this morning, Ephesians 4:15. It says, speak the truth in love. Can I change that? Communicate the truth in love. Listen, when you communicate, sometimes you talk about hard things. You talk about things that are not always pleasant. And when you do it, you're supposed to do it in love. And what'll happen? We'll grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Healthy families communicate. Can you think about things in your family that you don't communicate about? When I was growing up, there were things within my family that were taboo. What does that mean? That means you didn't talk about it and you didn't bring it up and we don't mention it. And one of the things in my family that was taboo was money. When I was growing up as a kid, money was something you did not talk about. Now, the adults would talk about it, but you didn't as a kid, even as an adult, you didn't talk about it with your parents. And when my mother was in her 70s, and she passed away when she was 79, I couldn't go to my mom as an adult and say, hey, mom, are your finances okay? Are you okay? Have you got everything lined out? Is your will good? I mean, are you doing okay? You couldn't do that. Because to her, if you did that, it offended her. And she felt like I was trying to get what she had. So if I asked her about money, she would immediately, clam up. And it's like, hey, don't talk to me about that. It was taboo. Now, Vicky's dad lives in San Antonio, and he's 93 years old. And she cannot talk to him about money because it's taboo with him. And if she were to try to ask him, hey, Dad, you're 93. I mean, maybe you're going to live to be 113. I don't know. But do you have your will lined out? Is everything okay? She can't do that because it's taboo. Listen, you want to communicate often within your family. You want to communicate. When my mother passed away, she lived in Hollis, Oklahoma. And she had a thermos, a little blue thermos with a little lid on it. Now, it didn't have the cup on it. It just had the little plunger. And it had $5,000 in it. And she had it in her cabinet, and it was her mad money. Okay, I did not know that she had that in that thermos. My brother, thank God, knew it, but I didn't know it. Because if I would, you know what I would have done? I would have put that on the dollar table in the garage sale, and I would have sold that thermos for a dollar, right? Because it didn't have the cup on it, so I probably would have even have given it away. Can you imagine somebody buying that thermos for a dollar, and when you get home, Tommy, they're going to rinse it out, and so they take it out, and they're looking there, and there's something in there, and they shake out $5,000. And I sold it for a dollar. But do you think they would bring it back, or do you think they'd be like, thank you, Jesus, right? Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, thank God my brother knew it was there. And so he knew it. And when my mom passed, he told me. He said, hey, Mom has the thermos. But here's the point. She didn't want me to know. I mean, we didn't talk about that. Listen, healthy families communicate. Let me give you the next one. Healthy families are committed to one another. Do you remember last week, Kurt talked about marriage, and he talked about the difference between a contract and a covenant. Do you remember? And what's a contract? A contract is I protect my rights and I limit my responsibilities. Okay, you know, I just traded my red pickup. I had that pickup for 7 years, and I drove it, and I wore it out, and I used it up, and I needed to get another one. Well, when I went and got my other one, you know what we spent 30 minutes doing? Signing papers, signing contracts. I mean, page after page after page, because they want to make sure that I'm responsible to pay for that pickup if I don't do what I say I'm going to do. And what did we find out? Marriage is not a contract. Marriage is a covenant. Now, what's a covenant? A covenant is everything I have belongs to you, and everything you have belongs to me. Listen, when Vicki and I got married July 2nd, 1976, I didn't have anything, okay? I had a minimum wage job. I probably had 20 bucks in my pocket if I was lucky. I mean, I didn't have a house. I didn't have an apartment. I didn't have anything. But what I had belonged to her the moment we got married. Everything I was ever going to have belonged to her the moment I got married, and everything she had belonged to me. Listen, healthy families are committed to each other. Listen, it brings such strength into your family. When you get married, you know I'm here to stay. Listen, Vicki knows I'm not going anywhere. Vicki knows that I made a vow before God, and I'm going to keep that vow, and the only way that vow can be broken is by death. And that brings such strength and peace into your marriage that you look at each other and you know, hey, they're committed and I'm committed. Let me give you the next one. Healthy families make family a priority. Now, I know we're all busy, super busy. Thank God you're here this morning. Thank God you put church as a priority this morning, and you're here with your family. But families make being together a priority. Let me read to you out of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Excuse me, this is Old Testament, of course. Then these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. What is that scripture saying? That we're supposed to be talking about the things of God, and as we are together with our family, when we sit at our table at dinner time, when we sit around at the house, we talk about the goodness of God. Hey, God is taking care of us. Hey, what did David say? God is taking care of us. God is going to take care of us. That you talk about that as a family. Think about, listen, I can get together with my Christian family, and we can talk and talk and talk, and it seems like Jesus never comes up in the conversation. Listen, make it a point to talk about the goodness of God. Don't be embarrassed to tell your children, hey, God's blessed us. We have this home. You have a mom and a dad. Mom has a job. I have a job. God has blessed us, and we're so thankful for God, and we're so thankful for the commitment that we have to each other, and that we talk about that. And that trait of a healthy family is we make it a priority. Now, when I was growing up, my dad worked and my mom stayed home, and they lived on a limited income. And all year long, my mom and dad would save money, and then at the end of the year, at the end of 12 months, that wasn't December, it was in the summer, but at the end of a 12-month period, we as a family went on vacation together, and we would go to Red River, New Mexico. Now, we didn't travel a lot as a family, Okay, my parents were very conservative, and there wasn't a lot to go around. But once a year, we made the commitment, my dad made the commitment, that we went on a vacation, and we went to Red River, New Mexico. And my dad made that a priority. And so we would go together as a family on vacation. Listen, I have such good memories of going on those trips with my brother and with my mom and my dad. The last year that we went before my father passed away, I was already graduated from high school. I had graduated, and I did not want to go. And my dad made me go with him on vacation. And I'm so thankful he did, because that February he passed away, and it was the last time we went together. And he made that a priority. Now, here's what happened. When Vicki and I were raising our children, we would go to Red River also. Now, we did some other things, but we went on vacation. We made it a priority, and we built those memories within our children. Well, now y'all know I have 6 granddaughters, and the newest one has not been to Red River yet, but this summer she's going to go. And so we go as a family, and we go on vacation. Listen, you won't be sorry for making your family a priority. Those of you that have grown children, I don't have to tell you, it goes by like that, doesn't it? I mean, you've got children, they're young, and before you turn around, they're grown. Take some time to be with your family. Let me give you the next one. Healthy families show appreciation and love for each other. Let me read to you out of Matthew 3:16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove and alight upon him. And suddenly, a voice came from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Now, you know this story. Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist. The Holy Spirit lands on him. And then God himself speaks from heaven, and here's what he says. "This is my Son, I love him, and I'm proud of him." Let me read to you again. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased," or "I'm proud of." Listen, this is so powerful. Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus had not done anything yet. Are you with me? His ministry hadn't started. Okay, and God the Father says, "This is my Son, and I'm proud of him." Listen, if Jesus needed to hear it, your family needs to hear it. Amen? Your children need to hear it. Your grandchildren need to hear it. Your spouse needs to hear it. I'm a big believer. Tell each other that you love each other. Now, I always have somebody tell me, "Hey, my mom never told me she loved me, or my dad never did, and I know they did." And I would certainly not take that away from you. But could I just encourage you, in your family, don't be afraid to express emotion. Don't be afraid to express love. I have an aunt, my mom's sister, who's passed away, and I would always tell her I loved her. She lived in Dallas. And one time I said, her name was Delilah. Don't you love that? Delilah, right? What was Meemaw thinking when she named her, right? You think she'd been reading the story about Samson and Delilah? And so she named her Delilah. And I would always say, "You know, Delilah, I love you." And one time she kind of chided me. And she said, "Oh, you just say that, but you don't mean it." And I said, "Yes, I do too mean it." Listen, healthy families are not afraid to tell each other they love them. They're not afraid to tell each other they appreciate each other. Let me give you the next one. Healthy families look out for each other. When I think I was probably a freshman in high school. My brother was in junior high. Well, one afternoon after school, he was going to meet another kid and have a fight. And so they'd been, you know, hassling each other. And so they made this appointment to meet for a fight. And so they met down the street. We lived right down from the school. And so we met down the street from the school. And he and this boy were fighting. And you know how boys are when they fight. A bunch of other boys gather around. So we're all gathered around. And we're watching this fight and cheering on our side. And right down from the fight was where I lived. And what I didn't know is my dad was watching out the window. And he was watching, right? And I don't even remember how the fight ended. There wasn't any broken noses or anything. You know, it's junior high kids, right? And so it wasn't anything vicious or bad. Well, it ended, and I don't know. I really don't remember. But we got home, me and my brother. And when we got home, my dad took his belt off and gave me a whipping. Yeah. You know why, don't you? Gave me a whipping. and I didn't even do anything. All I was doing was taking bets and watching the fight. I wasn't taking bets, right? But you know exactly why he did it. And I learned, and I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying I didn't deserve the whipping. I'm not trying to use fighting as being okay. I'm not trying to do that. But I learned a very valuable lesson, and it was a watershed moment in my life. And that is, if you jump on him, you jump on me. You fight all of us. You don't fight one of us, you fight all of us. And what it did was it developed a sense within us that, hey, we look out for each other. You know, one of the things that I don't like the most sometimes in kids, and we see this in camp, is where brothers and sisters don't look out for each other and there's sibling rivalry. And sadly, sometimes parents can promote that. And listen, right now even, I'm teaching my granddaughters, man, we love each other. We care about each other. We look out for each other. And again, I'm not espousing fighting. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that healthy families look out for each other. Let me give you the next one. Healthy families resolve conflict. Every family fights. Every family has disagreements. The thing is what do you do with the disagreement? What do you do with the fight? Let me read to you in Ephesians. Ephesians says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Listen, healthy families resolve conflict. Healthy families can say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'm sorry I said that. I'm sorry I did that. Let's make it right. Listen, keep short lists. I have a grandfather who was famous for holding grudges. If somebody did something to him he didn't like, he would hang on to it for weeks and for months. Listen, you don't want to be like that. You want to be able to forgive. You want to be able to give it to God. You want to be able to let it go. That's healthy. It's healthy for you and it's healthy for your children. You want to teach your children, hey, we forgive, we repent, and we make things right, and we move on. When Miss Vicky and I fight about things, then we can fight. We always make sure that we forgive and that we move forward and that we keep going. All right, let me give you the last one. I know I'm getting close to my time being done, and I saved the best one for last. I love this. Healthy families have a spiritual life. Okay, you know, I'm so glad you're here this morning because you're doing something to develop health in your family. Now, Kurt talked about this last week. They've done secular studies on the benefits of church, and I want to give you some of the things that they found out. The first one is people who go to church feel more connected to God. Now, I know, okay, you can go fishing in the mountains and feel connected to God. I'm not saying that, right? Okay, but they said that when you attend church, it gives you a sense of being closer to God. Let me give you the next one. Healthy families connect socially. Okay, when you're in church, you connect. Listen, we need each other. Okay, as I look around this room, I need you. Listen, the most important thing in my life is my relationship with Christ. The next most important thing in my life is my family. The next most important thing in my life is you. You are my church family. You're my spiritual family. We're going to spend eternity together. Amen? Amen. We are going to live in the Tulia section of heaven. Amen? Right. You know, I was going to say the hood, but Tulia's not the hood, right? You know what I mean, right? I mean, we're going to live together. We're going to be together for all of eternity. And you don't realize what an important part you are in my life and the difference that you make in my life. Okay, healthy families, when they go to church, it helps you socially. Let me give you the next one. If you're here with your spouse, if you're married and you attend church with your spouse, they say it connects you with your spouse. Then when you go to church together, when you worship God together, if you're married and you're with your spouse, and I know some of your spouse is not here today, but you go together, it connects you spiritually. Here's the next one. I love this. It creates overall health and well-being. Overall health and well-being when you come to church. There's a place outside of Taos, New Mexico called Ojo Caliente, and it's a hot springs, and it's a natural hot springs that the Indians used before America even existed. It's been there, they say it's been there for hundreds of years. Well, you can go there, and now they've put a wall around it and a cash register in front of it, right? And you have to pay to use it. Okay, people travel there from all over the world. When you go there, there are people speaking foreign languages from other countries, and they literally travel hundreds or thousands of miles to go to this hot springs. Do you know why? Because they believe it will improve their health. That's why they go. And we went, we had a blast. We didn't go for the health benefits. We just went to see what it was and to hang out. Listen, when you go to church, they found out that it improves your health and your mental well-being. Isn't that good? Let me give you the next one. It lessens depression. Now, I'm not making light of depression. I know depression is real and depression can be serious, and I'm not saying that it's not. But they said overall, when you attend church, it can help with your depression. And I think that's amazing. The next one is it gives you a deeper meaning in life. You know, we all work, we're all busy, we all get paychecks, we pay bills. Sometimes we feel like we're in the middle of the rat race and that we're turning into a rat. But when you come to church, it gives you that deeper sense that, hey, my life counts and my life matters. Let me give you the next one. It'll help you develop a sense of gratitude. That is the queen of all virtues. I'm grateful. Father God, I'm grateful. That's what David said when he prayed over the offering. He went from being discouraged to grateful. The next one is it develops a sense of forgiveness. It develops a sense of giving. And the last one, it develops a sense of serving. Church makes a huge difference in your life, and it develops health in your family. And I think that's amazing. Why don't y'all stand up and let's pray. Praise God. I'm doing good. The Lord's good. Amen. All right, Father God, thank you this morning. Father, I'm so thankful for our families. Lord, I pray over those couples that are married. I pray over our blended families. I want to pray over our single moms and our single dads. God, I want to pray your grace over each one of us today. Father, as we go from your house, we'd be strengthened, we'd be encouraged, we'd be reminded throughout the rest of the day that you love us and that you're at work in our lives. Father, would you show us how to improve our family, how to bring a sense of health and strength into our family? And Lord, if there's an area or two where maybe there's some weakness or it's taboo, that you would show us how to work in that. Father God, I'm so grateful for what you're doing. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Hey, I love you. God bless you. Y'all go and have a great rest of your weekend.